What's up? This is the Sisters in Therapy podcast. I'm Dr. Mercedes, LMFTS.
I'm Dr. Brittany Harrell, LPC.
I'm Dr. TK, LMFTS.
We are inviting you to be a part of our thoughtful, passionate conversations about all things life as it relates to mental health, because everything relates to mental health.
But more importantly, we're here to inspire you to love yourself and others.
This is a podcast where you'll get dope sessions, no copay, and keep in mind that this podcast is not meant to be a replacement relationship with a mental health professional. Now, let's get into the session.
We are back with another session of the Sisters in Therapy podcast. This session, we're going to be talking about gratitude, nurturing your mental health, and self-compassion. And, you know, we're going to start with some definitions. So, Dr. B, hit us with some definitions. How would you define gratitude? By the definition.
That's a girl, because we definitely Googled.
That was given on Google.
Yeah, so essentially what is in Webster and on Google, it is essentially characterized by acknowledging and appreciating the value of experiences, right? So like possessions, relationships, and aspects of one's life. That's essentially what gratitude is.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I am grateful for you and you, okay?
The feeling is mutual, dear.
What would I be?
No, that's facts.
Without these two, okay?
Do people underestimate gratitude?
Ooh, do they?
Yeah. Even like absolutely. The smallest things, though. Like the smallest things.
I mean, maybe. But sometimes we be grateful as Black people, I think. Like, so grateful that we be doing some stuff like, oh.
Okay, let's get into it. Girl, so there are upsides and
Downsides.
Not even necessarily downsides.
Or maybe we're misgratitude. Maybe we're misidentifying what gratitude is.
I think so.
Okay. Gratitude is, though, what somebody say on that link you sent, like, the mother of all virtues. Like, I think it's very pivotal. That word just fucked me up.
Pivotal.
Very essential.
There we go. Pivotal.
Oh, I said it right.
We're keeping that in. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, gratitude, it makes me think of one, just, of course, the relationships, and then sometimes the experiences, because sometimes when you're in it, you don't realize that you're going to miss it later, or that it holds a reason for happening for you.
Mm-hmm.
So it's important.
Absolutely. There are research articles out there that are talking about just the importance of gratitude and self-compassion.
Yes.
And how generally our overall just fulfillment with life, our happiness, all of those things really go up whenever we regularly practice gratitude.
Okay.
They actually even talked about the difference in like just feeling gratitude, because I think some people say that they just, well, of course I'm grateful, or I feel grateful.
Okay.
But they talked about the difference in our minds, in our prefrontal cortex, whenever we actually express our gratitude.
Mm-hmm.
So whether that's writing it down, whether that's like actively acknowledging it to ourselves in a really active way, or telling somebody, makes a huge difference than just like feeling.
Mm.
Right.
Didn't they tie that to also like practicing gratitude is a release of what, dopamine?
Yes.
Mm. Yeah. Okay. Mm. Let me be more grateful in this whole.
Come on, please do.
And I think
it's also important.
It really is. And I think also like people have to get away from like the super generic robotic way. I am grateful for. No, like you could switch it up. One thing that surprised you during the day was what?
Mm.
Right? Like it doesn't have to be like the I am grateful for.
I know mine
people,
is consistent.
It becomes monotonous for people.
No, I mean for me, I know the one thing that I'm like consistently grateful for is definitely my physical health and like my mobility. That's something I am consistently grateful for.
I think that's a beautiful start. What about you, Britt? What is something that you're consistently grateful for?
My autonomy, honestly. I keep going back to that, but really and truly, like that's one of the biggest things that sits with me. Like giving myself room to choose and to create whatever it is. Like I love saying I don't have to if I don't want to.
You do. Right. You do. And as you can see on this show, we love the word autonomy.
Yes, we do. I'm gonna get it tatted on me. But yeah, no, that's one of the main things that I'm consistently grateful for, even to the point of like I chose to start my practice, so I'm going to thrive in it however I see fit.
Mm-hmm.
I create my schedule the way that I want to. I am grateful that I have the room to at least try.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And autonomy doesn't mean that you are without challenges.
Oh, facts. Thank you.
I love that. No, you had said that. We was talking about soft girl era, and you was like, people are getting it, like, wrong.
Mm.
Okay. They're defining it, but, like, it's not definitive.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I like how you was talking about that one day. That's another session. But that was a really good point for me about you and autonomy and how much it means to you. Mm-hmm. I love that for you, friend.
Thank you so much. What about you,
TK? Same, really. One thing that I'm regularly grateful for is private practice. And a big part of that is because of autonomy in so many different ways, from my schedule to my clientele that I work with.
Okay.
To being able to do therapy.
Yes.
The way that I want to do therapy. I don't have to just use a certain model. I don't have to just see certain people that maybe don't want to see me. Mm-hmm. I really get to choose all those things, and that makes it so beautiful, and it makes me so grateful. Mm-hmm. Anytime I get to sit down with a client, even if it's a hard session, even if it's a long day, I'm like,
okay.
But I chose this.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So okay. How are y'all intentional? We'll get into like how you talk to clients and things like that. But I'm curious for y'all how the process began for you of practicing gratitude. And do you regularly practice it? If so, what does it look like for you?
I think we just kind of hit on it, maybe.
No, you just said, this is what I'm grateful for. How did you get into the practice of being intentional with it? And how do you actually practice it?
I think so. For me, getting intentional with gratitude in the way that I practice it probably started with pain or an adverse experience. Mm-hmm. So physical health is something I'm extremely grateful for, but just losing loved ones due to a poor mental health, a poor physical health or some type of medical condition led me to not want to take mine for granted. That's probably how I started with being consistent with, okay, this part of my life, I am very grateful for, because one, I can use the restroom by myself, because my grandmother had dialysis. Mm-hmm. And for so many years, I did not know people who was on dialysis could not pee.
Yeah.
I was like, oh my God, I never knew that. And so when I used to take her to dialysis, but maybe I just was ignorant and didn't know what she was going through. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to take care of my physical health. And so that definitely leads to me having a, what we call a, I don't know, a love-hate relationship with soda or pop, as we call it. I don't like to drink pop because I know what it did to my grandmother's kidney. So that's, I don't really drink soda like that. Yeah. So just being consistent and knowing that I have the autonomy to make healthier food choices, mm-hmm. that's me being grateful that I have the autonomy to do that. Because
yeah.
I can say that probably as a kid, I couldn't get grapes because my mom like, those are too high. Yeah. We're not getting grapes. So for me, that's how I probably practice gratitude. I think that also goes to me also connecting with little me. Mm. Because I get to go do all these physical activities and I get to also like eat healthier. Those are things I wanted to do as a kid, but I couldn't do because I really didn't have access to them. One, couldn't play sports until I got to high school because my mom worked all the time. So I realized that, you know, this is me connecting with my inner child. That's a new realization for me though, actually. Mm. So that's how I practice gratitude.
Yeah.
That was really long. Sorry.
Okay, no. Sorry, don't apologize.
That's a new realization.
You brought it full circle to like, what made that to be an abundant experience?
Yeah, thank you for using abundant. But I just realized that probably this week about, this is how I'm connecting with little me. This is why, because I love going to the damn gym. People are like, why? I'm like, girl, I don't know.
Happy, girl.
Happy.
If she could do a backflip, she would, for sure.
Okay, now I got to do a backflip.
Basically, that's all she got from
that. I'm trying to think. I don't know. I've always been, I'm very family oriented. And so like, yes, I try to really relish in those experiences. And I think as a result of like how close I am with my family, like I try to emulate that. That's why I'm so big on community, right? Like I'm not in the physical space with my family, but how do I emulate what that love feels like in a familial space?
Okay.
And how do I create that in like my platonic sisterhood relationships, right?
Okay.
How are
and
you?
So like I'm, huh?
I said, how are you?
Doing stuff like this, contacting people more, spending quality time with people.
Cooking for us.
Yes, that. And I my word for this year is, I prefer to use words or a word to describe like my theme for the year. And so like my theme this year is abundance, right? Mm-hmm. Having an abundance of experience. That way, experiences, that way I'm more present. Because I think last year I was so caught up in what I believed I was lacking.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it totally took me out of the gratitude space. I was just surviving at that point, right? I was making impulsive decisions financially. So it's like I had to take a step back. All right, you're not at risk of losing your apartment. You're able to put groceries in your refrigerator.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, things are different, mm-hmm. but that doesn't mean you're losing. That was the turning point. It's different. That doesn't mean I'm lacking. Does that make sense?
Mm.
So I've had to really say, okay, it's different. How do we accept the difference and how do we make it more abundant?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So that is where I became, at least within these few months, I've had to be intentional about that. I don't know if that answers your question.
It made me think.
That's how you're practicing gratitude, is that you had to change your perception of where you're at. It didn't change the situation.
Right. Right. No, that's what I was about to say. I thought, so what I took from it, actually the therapist train just started rolling, but you identify a mood or a feeling, impulsive, and then you identify like a thought, like I'm lacking something. Mm-hmm. And then what you did to counter that thought was say, okay, this is the evidence that I'm not lacking.
Mm-hmm.
That is beautiful because that is also an intervention.
Yes.
Intentional.
Yeah, no, that's fact.
That is
when
an
you
intervention.
You don't like the outcome.
Yeah.
You don't like the consequence. Yeah. So you change the thought, therefore
yes.
you have to change the behavior.
Yes.
And then you have a different consequence.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because I feel too far away from myself when I'm like occupying in a space of like anxiety.
Feeling too far away from myself.
No, that I really don't. I don't like it. It makes me uncomfortable. Huh. And I know how I operate in different situations when I feel far away from like the girl that is essentially grateful for. I don't have to be here, right? Like I'm creating this shit.
Yes.
I'm creating this shit. Except that I think what really was the turning point.
Mm-hmm.
I was talking to my therapist about this. School, I've done everything that I needed to do.
Oof.
Okay.
I followed the order. I've complied to the system. That is all said and done. I have graduated.
She got three degrees.
What am I supposed to be doing?
What now? Uh-huh.
I'm supposed to be doing this. What? That don't make no sense. Okay, how do we use our strengths to make this shit work?
Hey, that's a real one that I don't think we talk enough about when you're always... Because I had the same conversation with my therapist.
Yeah.
If I've been doing all of this for so long and the outcome, the goal has been so clear for so long.
Yeah.
What the fuck do we do now?
What? Yeah. I was left with that.
So I like that, but that also makes me think about a question that I've probably asked y'all before in the group chat of, and I feel like this can be a part of gratitude as well, which is, how do you make your way back home to yourself?
Ooh.
Gotta find my way back.
Does self-compassion come in that?
Yeah.
Or is that premature?
Nah.
I think I'm having a totally different kind of reaction to what y'all are saying. Mm-hmm. I think it comes back to us needing to always be busy to feel like we are useful or valuable or something. Like I need to be doing something. Mm-hmm. I think it goes back to the grind culture that we're trying to unlearn.
I think a bit of it is grind culture.
Okay.
But I don't think, because I don't mind resting, baby. I think there's a bit of that. But for me, it's more so of some people have the dream of the white picket fence or the how, you know, or kids or motherhood. Mine was being a therapist.
Okay.
People ask me, what would you do if you could do anything? This is it. I'd be doing therapy.
Yeah.
I wanted to get my doctorate. I got it.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's been so clear for so long. Mm-hmm. So it's not that I even
want
to grind. It's just that I knew so clearly what I wanted my life to look like.
Okay. Yeah. And so you were there,
so I'm grateful.
Right. But now now I feel like you're grieving the process.
Yeah.
That might be what it is. So you're grieving the process.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, maybe. I mean, that's all
I got. No, I think it is grief because it's a stage, it's a chapter that's closed. I'm no longer that student. We're no longer these students, right? Life is different now. So there's a little bit more freedom, but then you kind of get confused on what to do with it.
Right.
Really. Which in turn can be the grind.
Yeah.
Trying to get that edge. Again, I be asking
myself. That's why I went to therapy. We don't want no more of that.
No more edge.
A lot of people always ask if we as therapists apply our own tools on us. I think that's a crazy question, but I get that question a lot. So I'm glad that y'all both disclosed that y'all have therapists.
Yes.
So therapists go to therapy.
Yes.
Stay with me, guys. We are human.
We are human. And like you said before, everybody needs some sense of treatment, whether it's going to a dentist, getting your physical. The doctor can't do their own physical.
That's why I said somebody.
Blood
the
pressure.
Dentist can't clean his own teeth. I mean, he might, but he might fuck some shit up.
Exactly.
But no, I think he was just grieving the process.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
I think so, too.
I recognize that. It's certainly a grieving process. Not that it's sad. It's just, oh, life is different now. That
adjusting.
Chapter is closed. Mm-hmm. That's the word. It's adjusting to...
Adjusting to even how you set your goals or adjusting to what you want to see for yourself now, because now it's kind of opened up. You're kind of stepping into a new chapter or a new level in life's game and see what you want it to look like. So I'm definitely in a good place with it now, but it was definitely a transition process.
Do you find gratitude in also letting go?
Absolutely. Only there is gratitude in letting go because it's beautiful when you look back at, for me anyway, of what you said you wanted and you got it. I know I was just having a conversation with a friend the other day and I was telling them that I was finally on my way home after graduation or maybe preparing to go to graduation. Mm-hmm. And I just said to myself, like, hey, I'm proud of you. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I don't know if I've ever said that out loud to myself, but it was kind of almost like the inner child stuff of you've been wanting this shit for a long time. And doing it.
Yeah. No, those are like, that's like a full circle moment, which why it's so relatable to what we talked about in the previous session as far as healing, right? Like this entire life is ongoing. Mm-hmm. Our experiences are ongoing. And I don't want to be a finished product.
Mm-mm. No. Mm-mm. That means that we have to avoid destination happiness.
Absolutely. Which we talked about
before. That's a word.
Tell me, say, I think y'all already told me a little bit about like how you practice gratitude. Mm-hmm. For me, I'm definitely I'm going to go to my notebook and I'm going to write it down because I want it to be a really active process. Mm-hmm. I think we so passively do things and I think it makes a difference whenever we actively do them, whether that's a note, whether that's a text, whether that is actually writing them down. I'm a writer, so I'm biased. I'm like a writer, but I like to write.
You is.
And so I write those things down. And for me, I think it makes a big difference in my day, how I feel going into my day. Mm-hmm. And even when I was in a relationship, I felt like it played a huge role in my relationship.
Mm. Like being present?
Not just being present, but in being grounded and keeping at the forefront the things that are going well in the relationship. Because just like our minds on a regular basis, whenever we're thinking about negative things or whenever hard things happen, our mind has a natural tendency to linger on negative thoughts, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so we don't have to try to remember those. Mm. Our brain kind of works against us is mean in that way to where it keeps it at the forefront. And I think that's just our survival techniques saying, if something's wrong, you need to fix this. You need to tend to it. Mm. Fight or flight, protect yourself. Right. So it has to keep it at the forefront. Yeah. It's our job to retrain our brain to think about the other side of things, the things that we are grateful for.
Okay.
That's a mic drop.
Okay. So what do y'all feel is the role of, I guess, gratitude in your relationships?
Oh, I think it's a huge part for me. And I think it's even, like I said before, like I'm not lacking anything. Now, if I feel like this dynamic is taking me away from myself, then it's not something I'm grateful for. It's something that I gotta let go. Mm-hmm. Okay. But I think gratitude plays a huge part in all forms of relationships. And I think it does keep us present in the moment. Like, dang, I'm not gonna experience, like, we're not gonna experience this in this way, in this cadence, and at this time, the same again.
Mm-hmm. Ever.
Ever.
That's the one thing that I want all of us to be more intentional about anytime that we are doing anything is that we will never get this space, place, time back again, just like this ever again.
You might see the same people, but the experience will be different. The conversations will be different. How do I relish in this moment when I know I'm not going to get it again? Which is why I like taking pictures with people.
Okay.
Because I love going back and looking at those memories. Like,
you get the feeling back?
Yes, you get the feeling back. And I create albums so I can go back. Oh, I'm not feeling the best. Let me go look at some pictures and videos. Mm-hmm. And I end up cracking up and crying at the same time. But it's still a great moment.
Delete that video of me.
Y'all, I go to that video almost every day.
Listen,
and I got a picture of her in this jacket, y'all. No,
y'all just kind of share. Y'all just share two ways in which you practice gratitude. And so, you know, one of the questions you have as a process question is how do we encourage clients to practice gratitude, I think. But those are beautiful ways in which you practice gratitude, such as journaling and taking pictures and things like that. Those things are super important. Super important. So don't be trying to make people feel bad for taking their pictures, posting their pictures. It's important to them. Let them post it.
Exactly. Yeah.
What is gratitude not, though? Because I'm playing devil's advocate here. Ooh. So we were talking about gratitude and maybe before we was recording, but just how sometimes people mistake something for gratitude that it's not.
Okay, I know the direction you're going. So is it kind of like compromise, trying to convince yourself that this is something good?
Yes. It's like, or telling yourself, or just standing places or relationships that you shouldn't because you're just grateful to have those people or even jobs.
I feel like if there's always the same term that comes up, if you have to convince yourself that it's not all bad.
Yes.
I don't know if gratitude needs to be associated with that, because I think you're trying to convince yourself of something because it's familiar.
Also, though, I think that goes back to the previous session about just healing. If you haven't really tapped into some healing from, like, some past experiences and all you know is, like, adverse and trauma and pain, you will stay in places where you shouldn't be because you say, okay, this is not as bad as it was back then.
Right.
So you think that you deserve this bare minimum, so you're just grateful for it. We don't want people to be mistaken gratitude for staying in abusive relationships or abusive spaces.
Or abandoning yourself.
Or abandoning yourself. Because that's not what gratitude is. I'm glad you said that.
Right.
Summed it up perfectly.
Yeah, because we do have that comparison of whether it's not as bad as our last relationship or it's not as bad as things that we've seen other people
do. If it's bad, it's bad.
If it's bad, it's bad. If it doesn't feel good, it doesn't feel good.
Right.
You have the right to get out. I always tell my clients, don't gaslight yourself into believing that this is okay, and they're like, well, other people have it worse, or this is the baby, don't do that.
You know why though? Because society is always telling people it could be worse.
That's true.
Is a problem.
And I was about to say, and be careful with the people you're around too, because they'll tell you too, because they're thinking about their situation.
Right. But I don't like them. I get why people say it, but I don't like it because, like, that does not change your experience.
It also doesn't
change your reality.
It doesn't make sense.
Because people centering themselves. Versus seeing you and hearing you.
Well.
That is true.
Which is why I love encouraging clients who, their opinion is not law. Where is your voice in all of this?
True.
I had to learn that. What my parents have had to say, love y'all. What they have given me some values and principles. But at my big age, their opinion on what they think might be best is not law.
That's a good point.
What's that saying? Take what applies and let the rest fly?
Yeah.
Every time.
I never heard that before, but I like it.
Yeah. Like, it doesn't have to be, which is why, like, healing is so expansive. All of this is expansive. It doesn't have to be what you saw, I don't know, Beyonce do as her. You know, like, everybody's path is going to be different.
But that makes me think about the self-compassion and building that relationship with yourself.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So self-compassion is basically like with being kind to yourself.
Okay. Yeah, which makes room for extending yourself grace. I think we have these unrealistic expectations.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
So the practice of treating oneself with kindness, understanding, and acceptance. Okay. Especially in the face of personal shortcomings, failures, or difficulties. So when I think about self-compassion, I think about giving myself grace.
Absolutely.
Holding myself accountable. But without shame. Accountability without shame.
Yes.
Because I think that's the barrier to self-compassion is shame.
Yeah, I think
it
so
really
too.
Is. Yeah.
And I tell the thing that I say all the time to clients is, how do we give grace and accountability? Those are the things that I try to make exist at the same time. Give yourself grace for this. And you can still hold yourself accountable, because that is one of the barriers, because people shame themselves or they're saying, I'm just making excuses for myself.
That is a big part of our community as Black people. Shame.
Yeah.
Because we think it's motivation.
Yes, we think shame is motivation.
Where'd that come from?
We try to shame ourselves into. That comes from slavery.
I was about to say white supremacy, but that
too.
So much of things that we do that are detrimental to ourselves as Black people come from white supremacy or slavery. So much of it.
People would say we're stretching, but it's not.
We're not stretching. I would say that we're intellectuals and we are well-read Black girls, and this is why we're saying what we're saying.
Period. My main saying is shame and growth cannot coexist.
Not at all.
Because if yelling at yourself and being mad and being really mean to yourself because you're not going to the gym, has that encouraged you to go in the first place.
And it might temporarily, but the thing is, and again, y'all probably tired of hearing me say this, there is so much research that says that it might be a short-term change, but shame never, ever produces long-term sustainable change.
But even if you have, even if you go to the gym and you work out every day and you look good, but you're just shaming yourself to do it, you can't, you're not happy with the body you got internally.
Because you don't feel good about yourself. Actually, research, benefits of self-compassion, decreased depression, anxiety, PTSD, trauma, anger, and body shame.
Don't get it twisted, because we're not saying that self-compassion is making excuses for not getting shit done. That's not what we're saying at all.
Accountability, baby. Right. You can still have goals. Nobody is saying don't make changes. Nobody is saying don't hold yourself accountable. Mm-hmm. We are saying you are going to be more likely to meet those goals if you give yourself grace on the front end.
And if you are a parent and you are watching this, it is very important to plant these seeds right now with children, because the language you use can be shaming if you are not being careful, because so much of what we do as a community involves shaming. We don't be trying to, though, but it happens so naturally.
It does, but I think that's also back to our session about community. I think because we've configured that things are supposed to look this exact way when it really doesn't, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. We have to be flexible.
Right, because what are we shaming? Because this person is different?
That is
figure
what we're
out a different joke?
Like, shaming what we don't understand. I would say that's what we're doing. Or shaming somebody's body because it don't look like what we think it should look like. Or wanting them to feel ashamed about their body because they are happy or they wearing something that you think they shouldn't be wearing. They should be ashamed. That's why, what you see all this language on social media all the time.
Why is this person's existence bothering you that much?
Why?
What about this person's body makes you that uncomfortable?
I was about to say, what mirror is it holding up to you?
This
and
is
also
true.
People are not here for your visual pleasure.
Period.
Ever.
Period. Exactly.
I think it's important for people to realize that we are not here for people's visual pleasure.
No. Social media got it all twisted, okay?
It sounds like we're lecturing. Come on back.
but the people need to know, because it's not okay.
It's not okay.
And we see this with our clients, because they come in and they're having a hard time practicing gratitude. They're having a hard time practicing self-compassion. And I'm going to go ahead and say it. It's my single mothers who struggle the most with self-compassion.
So what is self-compassion even look like? How do you encourage it? What does your self-compassion look like with yourself?
Humanizing myself.
Which means?
I am going to make mistakes.
No.
And I am going to mess up. And I am pretty much like a person who likes to get everything done, take care of things. But girl, slow down. And also, self-compassion for me is like slowing down and just taking my time so that I just don't rush through the process. But also, if I mess up or if I do something that I'm not proud of, I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
You did this today. It's cool. But tomorrow, you're going to do something different.
Right.
Boom.
I like that, because I've had to learn it don't be that big of a deal half the time. What am I tripping about? What am I about to, like, again, you leave room for the responsibility, the accountability. But, like, if I've created my own web of anxiety and stress because I didn't do it perfectly, then what was even a reason in the first place?
And what's going to be the outcome of that?
What is going to be the outcome of that?
More and more of that.
And I'm going to repeat it until it's like, girl, this don't work no more. Are you not seeing that it don't work no more?
I find that people think that if I shame myself enough, it will make the outcome different.
Yeah.
But each time I challenge somebody with that and say, okay, how was it different?
Right.
How did it help?
Right.
How did you create something different? I'm like, so it's actually doing the opposite. I get the intention. But every time it's doing the opposite of what you intend for it to
do. But it's a learned behavior.
Yes, it is taught. It is learned. It ends up being like this giant clusterfuck sometimes, because then like, it's like an emotional pile-on. You shame yourself, and then you mad because you mad, and then you anxious, but you mad because you anxious, and it's like you went through this entire dialogue.
Now you mad that you anxious about it,
right?
Now you can
now.
Then you done fucked up again because you was too mad and too anxious.
But we done
so
dropped. I don't
them.
Know how many F bombs this session.
This is not for kids.
It can be,
not this one.
But okay, so when we are reckless with ourselves, then we are reckless with other people.
Ooh, wee.
And I think that's a big problem. And what I mean by that is I'm going to always come back to holding space. We don't hold space for our own emotions. We don't hold space, you know,
yep,
to free ourselves from judging ourselves from certain things. So therefore, we judge others. Therefore, we don't hold space for people. We have a responsibility to ourselves first. Mm-hmm. That's what self-compassion is, I think.
Oh, not that's what it is.
And I agree with that, too. And I think people don't always see that correlation.
No, not at all.
If I'm not able to give myself grace, I'm not able to give grace to other people. Mm-hmm. And then they're mad that people won't give them grace. And I'm like, you're doing the same. We're all doing it to each other. Mm-hmm. Don't you realize if you give grace and give yourself grace,
mm-hmm, right,
you ain't going to be as mad when this person make a little small mistake. It's not going to dysregulate you that much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you're going to be modeling something different to them.
A lot of times, though, I really do think that comes from childhood.
I know it does.
And of course.
I think so. When I used to teach a parenting class, some of the language that they encouraged parents was when your child accomplished something that you're really proud of, just say, you must be really proud of yourself. You know, not saying, I'm so proud of you. Start empowering them to be proud. This is for them.
Yeah, absolutely.
And therefore, when they mess up, they can sit with themselves and say, okay, what can I do differently? Versus if they mess up and they disappoint you, that breeds shame.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because they're like, I disappointed my mama. I mean, I'm not saying that's right, but it was just some of the language I learned in the parenting class I was preaching.
I never thought about it that way.
It made sense to me.
Yeah, it does.
And not just that. Even when they do things imperfectly, not to only praise them whenever they do good things, because then we have these unrealistic expectations.
Facts of perfection.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know how this is going to translate. I say that anytime I have like a quick thought, but I wonder if there's, I know we're talking about self-compassion and a big part of that is also extending it to others, but I think sometimes people get a bit too good at compassion and they let shit ride, if that makes sense, right?
You're hitting the downside to that a little bit.
Yeah, because I feel like especially with clients that I've helped work through their relationships, there ends up being, I hear you and I think it's great that you're able to practice compassion. Do you believe that your partner is considering you in the same way, right? Like, I think compassion ends up being, it depends on how it's exercised. Mm. I think it ends up giving room for, well, he does this, so then it's not really.
We just talked about this with gratitude.
Yeah.
So you're right. Yeah. It can be, compassion is not tolerating.
There we go. Thank you.
Suffering.
There we go. Thank you.
That's not compassion. But I will say, as a human behaviorist / therapist, I do understand people's behavior. So I think sometimes I can't be too compassionate because I'm like, I understand how you got there.
Yes, and but that's what you have to say.
But do you allow the mistreatment of you just because you understand?
No, so that means that explains the behavior, but it don't excuse the behavior. Exactly. So I'm going to keep it moving. That's really what that means, or remove myself from the space. But no, there can be a downside to that.
Yeah.
Some people all the time, both of us have to be able to exist here.
Yeah.
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 This isn't just a space for only you to have compassion. We can both be imperfect humans here, but there has to be enough space for both of us.
For sure.
Yes. This is so important to the work I do with couples, especially when we're coming in with pain and infidelity. Because by the time they come to therapy, you have decided that you want to work on this. So therefore, I have to get the prerequisite or the precursor that we're going to have accountability without shame, without guilt. And that is very hard. But at the end of the day, shame and guilt are just feelings. And what we do with feelings, we feel them. And so then we feel them and we keep them moving. Mm-hmm. But in couples therapy, compassion and gratitude are so important.
Yeah, and they really are.
That is tricky and can be a slippery slope because it could feel like you're teaching people to be okay with somebody cheating on them or something like that. But by the time they get to me, they have decided they're going to stay in this relationship. So therefore, you will have to give grace because you decided that it did hurt me, but I still love you enough to work on this with you.
Yeah, yeah.
And that is hard work.
It is.
Oh, absolutely. And we can, only we can decide what our capacity is for that type of forgiveness or for that type of compassion.
Yes.
And I think everybody is probably at a different place on that scale.
We all are.
Yeah.
We all are,
everybody's
for sure.
Everybody's threshold is different.
Mm-hmm. Everybody's threshold is different. So gratitude and self-compassion, or how does this nurture mental health?
Ooh.
To me, it sounds like it goes into even how we were talking about healing.
Mm-hmm.
For me, it's about intentionality.
Okay.
These things are ways that we are being intentional
Okay.
With our mental health by practicing gratitude, by practicing self-compassion. There are very specific ways we can do these. And it's an intentional practice. It's not a, again, it's not passive. We think because we have a job or because we have these things, we can just wake up and be in a good mood. That ain't enough.
No, it's not.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So, Brittany?
No, I will piggyback off of her. I think all of it involves intentionality and it keeps you present, really. I think you feel more whole when you're compassionate with yourself, when you're gentle, in addition to expressing gratitude for the way that you are handling yourself.
Okay.
So
that's I think earlier you guys kind of hit on how it nurtures mental health. Basically, you saying you journal, you saying that you take pictures, all those things nurture your mental health because it's releasing dopamine and all those things, or just practicing gratitude, such as if you want to go for a walk every day, you like to look at sunsets. All this is essential to a balanced mental health.
For sure.
And these are things that are attainable.
Yeah.
That's the biggest thing I think is how it nurtures our mental health, because it's attainable. You can touch this. This is within your control. This is you. This is you being happy with you.
Exactly.
That is the most important thing, which is self-compassion, which is nurturing that emotional well-being in that relationship with yourself, which is, I mean, it's just like needed. It's 100% the one thing that you can't get out of is the relationship with yourself.
Exactly. Right? And that has to be the most solid one. Honestly.
Got to be the most solid one. Okay. So.
On that note.
We'll end it on that note. Go love yourself.
Go love yourself.
Go love yourself.
Hey guys, don't forget to follow us on Instagram at Sistas in Therapy. That is S-I-S-T-A-S in Therapy. And make sure you hit that subscribe button on whatever platform you listen to our show on and give us a review. And as always, go love yourself.